Father of Storms. Written by Dean Jones. Produced by Be Here. Episode 6.
Be Here. Bringing books to life. Vision. Without sight.
Chapter 13. A New Skill Mastered. The morning air was warm, filling the land with the sweet smell of a summer in full bloom. Seth found himself pacing as he waited for May's arrival. Every stride back towards the hill, he expected to see the old woman's head bobbing above the brow as she made her way towards him. Today she was late. May had never been late before. Seth was losing his excited enthusiasm as worry crept into his heart. It had been over 13 summers since he began his lessons. As a boy of 5, he guessed he would learn to heal pigs and make magic. He had learned so much more than he could ever have imagined. In that time, he had grown into a fine man who now stood a full head taller than his father, something which made Garrett proud. His father had been right about Seth. He had developed into a fearsome warrior. He was unbeaten in all his duels with the other men of the village. When they fought together, Seth knew his father struggled to contain his skill and strength. Over the last few months, Seth could see he had the beating of him if he wanted to. He felt he could easily overpower him to take the victory, but recognized it would be a hollow triumph. His father was a proud man. Although they both knew Seth was the better, stronger fighter, neither felt it necessary for their father-son relationship to change. So Seth let his father win, and laughter always followed their contests, with comments about how next time you'll beat me, son, or how his father was getting too old for this sort of thing. Seth's life was moving along at a pace. He had been betrothed to a woman from a neighbouring village, something which was a cause of annoyance for the girls from his own village. The ceremony had been organised for months. Seth knew his mother was spending the morning busying herself preparing for the girl's arrival. It was customary for the bride to spend the night before the wedding in the groom's house, while he spent it in the woods, bonding with the male members of her family during a stag hunt. The spoils of the night were prepared, then eaten at the wedding feast the next day. It was good luck to take a wild boar, but a stag was the perfect result. All food was welcome, with many guests bringing their own offerings to the couple. There would be pork from his father's farm, while the bride's family would bring vegetables and bread, as expected. The idea of marriage had yet to settle itself. He could still think of several armies and gods he would rather face in battle if he was given the choice. Seth knew time was short. His wife-to-be would arrive soon, meaning he should be making his way to the woods to meet his father for the hunt. But he struggled to contain himself with the news he had to share. He turned again, telling himself this time she would be walking towards him. To his relief, there she was, striding over the hill with Ardith in tow behind her. Seth rushed over to them, giddy with the excitement of the news he'd been so desperate to share.
Seth! Calm yourself.
May took a step back.
You are clearly bursting to tell me something, so spit it out. What news have you got?
Seth took a deep breath, then turned to point excitedly towards where he had run from.
What are you pointing to, Seth?
Ardith's puzzled voice came, crisp from her mouth. Ardith had aged considerably over the years. She now looked older than May, something that had caused Seth some confusion. Before he found out, May had only allowed herself to age a couple of months every 10 or 20 summers. She had explained to Seth she liked being the age she was, so made it her goal to stay that way until it suited her to grow older. However, she didn't imagine a never-aging spay worker would be accepted, so getting older was part of the job. Seth could remember the day clearly when he was told growing older was a choice, which meant only if you wanted to get old would you age. If you didn't, you could stay young practically forever. It was part of learning to dance with time, May had told him. It had confused Seth that Ardith was growing to look so much older. He had asked May about it, but she was vague, saying that
each spear worker has a particular area where they're stronger. For Ardith, dancing with time is something she's yet to master.
Seth had pressed her on the subject only a few weeks ago. He had become much more aware of the spey around him, but from what he could see of Ardith's abilities, she seemed to cut off from most of it. May told him that
to learn, the apprentice must be prepared to accept their place. For without humility and an open mind, how could knowledge be passed from one mind to another? Sometimes a person is simply unwilling to accept their place. As a teacher, I find that even with an axe, it is difficult to get the knowledge inside that person's head.
Is Ardith willing to learn?
Seth asked.
Ardith has many things. Some of her abilities are wondrous. Unfortunately, she is yet to fully realise her own potential due to barriers she has to come to terms with.
May smiled as she placed her wool down.
If I were you, Seth, I would stay focused on what you still have left to learn, rather than concern yourself with others. We will each have our time to shine, and for you, I feel that being a husband will be the making of you.
She laughed at the involuntary grimace that appeared on Seth's face. They drank warm broth as Seth steered conversation away from his upcoming wedding each time it was brought up. He loved spending time with May. She had a motherly feel in her aura that made him feel at home in her presence. As the night went on, May told Seth she was weary of the world.
I have come to realise, Seth,
she said,
that the new Christian religion, where only one God is worshipped, is likely to force all into its churches. It is an unfortunate truth that Spey is considered evil, with those worshipping the old gods being ostracised or openly attacked.
Her face solemn as she stared into the glow of the fire. Seth knew May couldn't bring herself to hide her ways from these new holy men, so had decided her time was about over. She had decided that once she had completed Seth's training, she would step back into the stream of time. There, she would welcome the chance to age as she prepared herself to leave this world and to join Woden's table. In truth, he didn't blame her, though the thought of her leaving was an unhappy one.
There, look, what do you see?
Seth's voice squeaked slightly in his excitement, a stark contrast to the usual deep tones he spoke with.
I don't see anything, Seth. There's nothing there but the old oak tree.
May was now as puzzled as Ardith.
Has the excitement of your upcoming marriage took away your senses?
And what do you notice about the tree, May?
Seth asked. Both May and Ardith looked closer at the question they were being posed.
It's covered in leaves.
Ardith spotted it first, then looked back to Seth to determine if this was the answer to the riddle he was setting them. May looked thoughtfully at Seth, then considered fully what he was saying.
And you did this, Seth. You brought back to life a long-dead tree.
Seth began to nod energetically.
Yes, isn't it magnificent?
The oak tree in question had stood for as long as Seth could remember in the field in front of his house. It had contracted an illness 10 years or so ago, and nothing they could do helped. It slowly died, leaving behind a withered husk of what it once was. Seth's father had never cut it down, as he had grown to love the old tree through the years. The swing he'd made for Seth still hung from the lower branch, though it was too dangerous to swing on.
Child, explain how you did this,
May demanded. Seth took a deep breath.
Well, I have been watching that tree every day since we began our lessons. In the early days, I watched its leaves dancing in the wind and observing the spey trails they left behind. When it became ill, I noticed how the spey slowly left its branches, then trunk. I felt sad as you said there was nothing to be done.
A smile broke across his face as he knew the best bit was about to come.
Lots of things have changed over the years, and my understanding has increased significantly about the connection of Spey to everything else in this world. So last night I was sitting on the rock contemplating the old oak tree when an idea came to me out of the blue. What if I could refill the tree with Spey? Would that bring the tree back to life?
Seth stared at them both, noticing curiosity etched on their faces.
I then asked myself, where can I find Spey to refill the tree? I jumped off the rock I was sitting on and noticed the energy which filled it.
Seth pointed to an empty space where the stone had once been.
I tried to pick up the rock, which was difficult because it was so heavy. Then, and this is the best bit, I asked the energy that was the rock to free itself from its current form, and it did. I saw it come out of the rock, and as it filled the air in front of my eyes, the rock grew smaller until there was nothing left but the swirls of colour the energy was making in the air.
Seth took a deep breath to calm himself as he concentrated, so he could properly explain what happened next.
After that, as I looked at the energy, I focused closely on the patterns it was making, and I found I could see little spots of colour inside it, all moving as one to make the whole. Then as I looked around, I could see these spots were everywhere. Some were living as rocks or soil, some were trees and pigs, but most were just floating around and making the air we breathe. I gathered some of the energy, asking it if it would like to help the energy that was the rock revive the tree, as there wasn't enough to accomplish the task. After a moment, the energy agreed, then joined together to create a mass of swirling colour in front of me. I focused my mind to visualise the tree filling with Spey in front of my eyes, and it did.
Seth finished by pointing back to where the old oak stood in all its glory. Seth looked at May and Ardith, expecting a knowing expression, along with a smile that told him it was about time he had mastered this part of the Spey. But instead, he found both Ardith and May gawping, open-mouthed at the sight of the oak tree. A little puzzled, he moved slightly in front of them to try and get in their eye line.
Is everything all right?
He was feeling a knot of worry building in his stomach. It hadn't seemed like a bad idea to ask the energy in the rock to become a tree. It certainly didn't make him feel disrespectful towards Frigg's energy when he requested they join so a tree could be brought back to life. The longer the silence went on, the more concerned Seth felt. Finally, May coughed, breaking the stillness between them before nudging Ardith, who was standing open-mouthed next to her. Seth took a keen interest in his feet. He was now terrified he'd done something wrong. Suddenly, the idea of marriage was preferable to standing here waiting for what he expected would be a stern telling off from his old teacher.
Seth, my boy, you have turned a rock into a tree.
The amazement in May's voice brought his head back up at last. He was almost sure he hadn't done anything wrong, but now knew he was going to be congratulated on his achievement.
Not in all my years have I witnessed such control of the energy, where it can be transformed from one form to bring life to another. I mean, I knew it could be manipulated and caressed to our wills, but this is staggering.
A warming smile crossed her lips as she took in his accomplishment.
A rock into a tree. I would never have believed it possible if I hadn't seen the results in front of my own two eyes.
The pride in her voice was unmistakable. Seth glanced to Ardith, who was breathing heavily and looked like she was in shock.
Ardith?
He tried to get her attention. In truth, her praise was less important to him than May's, but he would like to know what she thought. He watched as her chest heaved as she took in several deep breaths before she spun to face him. Seth was shocked at the look in her eyes. There was a desire he had never seen before.
Tell me how it's done, Seth. Tell me now so I can do it for myself.
The tone of voice she used was something Seth had not expected to hear from Ardith. Usually, she was softly spoken and reserved. Over the years, her voice had cracked with age, so it became croaked in the mornings or when she was sleepy, but nothing like this. Ardith grabbed hold of Seth with a wild look in his eyes.
What else can you change? Can it be anything? Could you turn the grass into coins?
Suddenly, she reached down to grab a handful of grass at his feet, then held it out to him with a crazed greed etched on her face.
Show me, Seth. Show me now.
She demanded. May grabbed Ardith's arm, pulling her away from Seth with the force that belied her frail exterior, before placing herself between them. She stared intently into the other woman's eyes, waiting for her to move.
Move, old woman. I've tired of your pathetic trickery. For so long, you've promised to show me the true power of Spey. I've waited patiently as this boy grew stronger and more gifted each year, whilst I remained weak. Now I can see what Spey can be used for. I want the knowledge, and I won't be kept from it by you.
Ardith spat into May's face, but May didn't flinch, keeping herself between Seth and the now circling woman.
You know now why I have never given you all the answers to your questions, Ardith. I always knew you were hiding your true self from me, so I waited. I will give you credit. You are patient. I supposed the day you revealed your true self would not arrive before I go to Woden's table.
She said.
You ask why I have not taught you. Some would wonder why I took you on at all. Well, let me tell you, as you were so desperate to learn. I made you my apprentice, not because I envisaged you taking over from me, but because I could keep an eye on you. You have a blackness inside you that those with less honourable intentions could use to their own ends. You are gifted. I knew that when you first took breath. But the darkness has only grown where I had hoped to help you remove it completely.
Seth moved his head from May to Ardith. The situation suddenly became intense as the younger woman prowled around them, with May acting as a shield as she spoke. For anyone watching on, it must have been a peculiar sight, as May was almost half Seth's height. It was a strange feeling, which he wasn't sure how to deal with. He knew how to react if this was another man trying to intimidate him into giving away something that was his, but this was a woman he had grown to respect over the years. A woman who had soothed him when he entered the night for the first time. Surely she was maddened by something she had eaten or drank.
You will be walking with Woden sooner than you think if you don't step aside. Me and the boy have some talking to do.
Seth understood the sentiment in Ardith's voice. The sound pulled him from his shock. He was now growing angered at her demands and constant pacing around him. He focused himself, ready for anything she could do, which he guessed wouldn't be much as she was frail and old, but just in case she had a weapon hidden in her robes, he concentrated, then readied himself. Ardith struck, fast and hard. Her arms swung erratically as she barreled towards them. Seth took a step backwards for the first time in his life. May was equal to Ardith's attack, though, blocking her advance with a swift swing of her staff before countering to leave her sprawled on the ground at her feet. Ardith snarled, rose to her haunches, then slowly pulled something from beneath her cloak. Seth knew he was right not to underestimate her as he spotted the glint of a knife appear from behind her leg. Before he could react, Ardith had launched herself at May. She was raining blows down on her teacher with unnerving accuracy. May was doing all she could to avoid or block each blow with a stick as it came in, but she was old. Seth could see the effort of the struggle was beginning to take its toll. Ardith continued to stab and slash at May, who was weakening. Ardith raised her hand for what appeared to be the winning strike of this assault. The knife moved quickly through the air. Seth could see May had left herself open. He watched as Ardith's blade made its way to her throat in what would surely be a decisive blow. Seth concentrated on the blade that flashed through the air, then he heard it. The blade sang to him. In that moment, he knew what he should do. He reached out, grasping the energy contained in the knife, willing it to his command. The knife shot from Ardith's hand and hovered in the air. She paused, staring at the sight of the boy's control, but only for a second as she punched down into May's face, leaving the old woman collapsed to the ground. Ardith vaulted her and headed for Seth. As he focused on the energy inside the blade, he began to unravel it. As he did so, he freed it into the air around him. Opening his eyes, he found Ardith a step away, clearly delirious with rage. She pounced. Seth parried her assault, not sure how to deal with the woman. As she spun, she reached again inside a cloak and flung powder at his eyes. Distracted, Seth felt a sharp pain enter his side. Looking down through bleary eyes, he saw another blade which now protruded from between his ribs.
He said I couldn't do it. He told me I was weak. But now I have you, Seth, son of Garrett. You will die as you watch me skin the old woman with your own knife. I will, of course, explain to the village how I was too weak to stop you as your madness took hold. And will, of course, accept the position of spey worker in the old hag's place.
Seth could feel the blade deep inside him, but he kept his focus. He grabbed the woman by the hair to stop her weight pushing the knife any deeper. He drew on the energy around him to provide strength, finding it willing and eager to join him. Soon, Ardith was arm's length away from Seth, kicking at him with her dangling feet. He tossed her away like a doll before he reached down to remove the blade. Blood gushed from the wound. He knew time was short. Focusing again, he drew more energy with the sole desire to protect May, who was now struggling to her feet. The air grew thick as clouds greyed as they gathered above their heads. Rage built inside him at the thought of this woman's plans. After all May had done for her, this was her intention all along. He held his hands towards her. The air became electric as a globe of light appeared between his palms. He instinctively knew what this was for. He allowed it to grow before willing it to strike the now advancing Ardith. Pain filled Ardith's face as she was thrown back by a light orb Seth had conjured, but she got to her feet quickly. The energy was still visible around her aura, making her hair stand on end. Above them, the sky filled with storm clouds. Seth reached towards the heavens. Clouds began to flash above them as the sound of distant thunder carried on the wind. Ardith slowed her advance. The sky flashed again quickly, followed by a clap of thunder. Ardith became rooted to the spot. Once again, Seth felt completely connected to the energy around him. The feeling this time wasn't like when he had fought the Mara. Now it was intoxicating. The power surged through him as his anger boiled under the surface. Ripples of light reacted to his emotions as he watched the woman staring at him. He felt no pity for this woman. She had made her decision, and now she would pay for them. With that thought, he dropped his arm towards her. A bolt of lightning zigzagged its way to earth. Ardith had no time to move before it struck her. It was over as quickly as it had begun. Ardith lay collapsed on the ground. May, who was shielding herself from the blast of energy, slowly uncurled her arms, then moved to examine the still eyes of Ardith to check if she was breathing. Finding she wasn't, she turned to look back at him. Seth knew Ardith had been killed. No one could have survived that. He stared down at the corpse of the woman who had stabbed him. The heat must have been intense as everything had melted together. Her clothes were shriveled and clung to her burned body like a second skin. Only this one was charred and smoking. Killing was part of the battle, his father had said. When it is a choice between you and your enemy, then there is no shame nor guilt attached to ending another's life. In fighting, they have made their choice known. Seth had the words appear in his mind, but as he remembered the conversation, he couldn't recall anything about how it would feel to kill another person. The nausea, shock, and panic he felt now, was that normal? For a moment, he felt as huge as the mountainside, as the energy around him danced to his will. He felt alive as the lightning surged towards his target, and as it struck, a joyous triumph filled his soul. This was what he was capable of. This is the magic he had yearned to learn as a child. But now, as he released his hold on the energy, he felt despair. May moved to his side and placed a hand on his. Seth kept his eyes on the woman he had fought. He didn't want to look into May's eyes, knowing he would find only fear and disappointment in them.
What happened, Seth?
May's voice was calm. Seth took a deep breath as he considered the now lifeless body of Ardeth.
The energy was so powerful I had it all in my grasp and then I just let it go.
She gazed up into the now cloudless blue sky, then back to Seth.
I always knew you were special. From the first moment you looked into my eyes, I just felt it.
Seth resisted slightly as she pulled him down before letting her pull him into a hug.
Don't ever let your power control you, boy. Always remember you are stronger than all others.
She lowered her voice to a whisper.
I have never known power like yours in all my years, but I have heard stories of it.
Seth pulled back and looked at May's kindly face, noticing it was filled with pride and not the disappointment he expected.
What should I do?
First thing we should do is check that wound. I can't have the groom bleeding out before his wedding day.
She indicated he should remove his shirt for her to check his injury.
By the gods!
She exclaimed as she stared at his unmarked skin. Seth glanced down to see where the knife had entered his side. There was nothing there other than some dried blood. May brushed her hand over his ribs, then looked up at the man she had been teaching since he was 5.
You must have healed yourself when you held the mass of energy in your hands.
This was the only sensible conclusion she could come up with.
Quickly, pass me your shirt. I will fetch a clean one from your mother. I will tell her you have torn yours in your excitement for the festivities ahead. She will believe this.
She winked as she headed off down the path to his home. Seth stood, staring down at the covered shape of Ardeth. He felt immense shame for what he had done.
She would have killed us both,
he thought, as he tried to justify his actions. Standing on the hill, he looked down into the village. He could see people standing around, pointing to the sky as the sudden lightning bolt must have startled them. Seth hadn't even considered what others might have noticed, or if any witnessed what he did. He watched as several people huddled together as they checked in his direction. Suddenly he felt exposed, as though they knew what he had done. He turned away, only to be greeted by the body of Ardeth. Smoke curled away from her corpse as the breeze lifted what was left of her hair. He took a step forward, hoping he would somehow find something to make this all go away. As he got closer, the smell hit his nostrils. Up until now, the wind had been taking the odor away from him, but as he stood over her, he couldn't help but inhale. With it came a fresh wave of guilt. Could he have done something else? Why did he react the way he did? His mind raced as he looked back on all the lessons he had received, trying to find the one where he was shown how to do something like this. But just as it was in the forest when he first met the Mara, he discovered that he instinctively knew how to do these things.
Here, put this on,
May called as she returned with a freshly laundered shirt.
Your mother was frightened by the noise of the thunder. I made it known that it was a sign of greater times to put her mind at rest.
Seth nodded as he understood the sound must have carried far.
She says she wishes your new bride luck with your clothes, as she has stitched and repaired more than she cares to again.
Seth pulled the clean linen shirt over his head and tucked it into his pants.
So, now what?
He asked, returning his gaze to Ardeth's body.
You should keep learning. Perhaps ask the Mara to help.
Seth blinked, as this was the first time since he had met the Mara that May had acknowledged their meeting.
I was wrong to doubt you when you told me of your meeting. I will show you everything I know, though I do not think I can teach you any more about Spear. I will try to show you how to gain greater control.
She looked again at the dead body of her former apprentice before she reached down to cover her burned, disfigured face with her cloak.
Let's take her to the woods for burial. None should know of this. I will inform anyone who asks she merely died of an unknown malady.
Seth lifted the body onto his shoulder, then followed May as they made their way down the hill.